Welcome to the Dissertation Dive. This is a special podcast series where we dive into dissertations of scholars who completed their doctoral degrees in the past several years. As you know, the dissertation is the culminating experience of the doctoral journey and includes independent scholarship that is significant to our field. So I thought it'd be a great idea to dive into some exemplary dissertations. In this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Brandon Foy, the author of the dissertation titled Examining Online Learning in K-12 Online Physical Education and Physical Education Teacher Education During the COVID-19 Pandemic. Dr. Foy, thank you for joining me on the Dissertation Dive.
Thanks for having me, Michael. It's nice to meet you. I'm excited to be here on my first ever podcast. Exciting stuff. Thanks.
Yeah, it is exciting. I'm excited to be here with you as well and dive into your dissertation a little bit. But before
you have like millions of listeners, is that what you said?
I can promise, a million minimum. I'm going to be conservative here. So if only we could get a million folks thinking about quality physical education, we'd be in a good place, right?
Yeah, right.
So before we get into the dissertation, what are you up to now in your career? And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I'm currently in my second year at North Dakota State University. Assistant Professor of Practice in the Health Ed and Physical Education program. We also have a coaching component to that. So I'm currently working with undergrads who are preparing to become teachers. We also have a master's program in leadership and physical education and sport. And so that works with primarily people who are currently PE teachers who want to get their master's and some coaches and just people in the sports field in general. So I get to work with a nice cross range of students and being a professor of practice, my course load is a little bit heavier than my research load right now. And so I get to do a lot of teaching, which is something that I like because I really love teaching.
Absolutely. So it sounds like a really exciting time and exciting place for you to be in your career right now. And you got there because you eventually, decided to get a doctoral degree in physical education. Can you talk a little bit about your background and like, how did you end up pursuing a doctoral degree in this field?
Yeah, so it was, I would say, a pretty long and winding road. I started out at the University of New Hampshire, got my bachelor's degree in kinesiology with a specialization in physical education pedagogy. I ended up back there and got a master's degree, and then I started my teaching career. And so I was a middle school PE teacher in New Hampshire for 4 years. I then took another job in Massachusetts as a high school PE teacher. There were a lot of things that I really loved about the job. I loved being with the students and teaching, like I already said. But I found that after that decade or so, kind of the politics of the job really kind of wore me down. So I kind of started to think about making a change, and I ended up in my mentor, Steve Wright, his office at the University of New Hampshire, just kind of talking about options. And one of the things that came up was going back to school and getting my doctoral degree to get into teacher education. One day my wife came home from work and I said, "Hey, can we talk? And I think I want to quit my tenured job as a teacher and go back to school." And amazingly, she said, "Okay." So I started looking at doctoral programs, and it went from there.
Wow. So that's an exciting, time for you to start searching for doctoral programs to begin this new phase. How did you find a doctoral program that fits your needs?
Yeah, so I would preface this by saying I think my journey was probably a little bit unconventional. I'm not really sure what conventional is for a doc student, but I feel like mine's a little unconventional. So I mentioned I'm married. I have two kids. I had two small kids at this time. And so I was in my late 30s. And so we knew that kind of the end point for me was working at a university as a teacher educator, and we knew realistically that probably was going to end in a relocation. And so having kids, we want to kind of to minimize the impact. And so we were looking for a program for me where I could do it from I was living outside of Boston at that time, about 45 minutes outside, and I wanted to have a program where I didn't have to relocate. And so for all the colleges that are near Boston, that is actually kind of hard to find. So there were a couple of options that worked for me. And so I put out a couple of applications and got two acceptances. And so I was really, the two schools were very, very different situations. And so I was asking people, I talked to Steve Wright again, and, you know, what do I do? And it kind of going back and forth. And ultimately, he put me in touch with Paul Shemp. You know Paul?
I do. I know the name.
Yeah. So he's at the University of Georgia. He's somebody that has done a lot of hiring. And so I talked to him, and it was a conversation where I went into it expecting him to kind of be middle of the road and say, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons to both programs, and, you know, do what's right for you. And that was not how the conversation went at all. He had a very, very strong stance and said, if this is the road that you want to go, I think that you need to go in this direction. And so it was kind of a weird space for me to be in, because this is somebody that I had never talked to before. But my mentor is somebody that he trusted very much. And he and I talked afterwards, and he said, you know, if he's saying this, I think it's something you should listen to. So I ultimately ended up, he told me Boston University was the way to go, for a variety of reasons. And, so I dove into that. And so, that's when I met my advisor at Boston University, John McCarthy, and kind of started to imagine, what the next few years were going to look like for me. And, I went with it.
Yeah. Yeah, exciting. And a great example of, you know, networking in the field. I know a lot of senior scholars are approachable. And that's a really good example of, you know, someone who was willing to provide advice that was really helpful in shaping your journey. And, you know, look where you are now. It proved to be very beneficial, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you got to Boston University, and, you know, I know you would have taking some courses and things like that, and eventually you had to think about a research topic so you could, you know, get to that dissertation phase. What were some of the things that influenced your selection of a research topic?
So I think that one of the things that I should mention at this point is that my understanding is that in a lot of doctoral programs you have comprehensive exams. That's pretty typical, am I correct? Boston University does not do that. They do what are called qualifying tasks instead. And so the two qualifying tasks are, one, you need to write a literature review of a topic that you select. And the other one is you need to have a leadership role in a research project. And so that kind of shows the people there that you can take on a dissertation. You know how to do research. You can write a literature review. So those are the opening steps. And so I put a proposal together for my first qualifying task, which was my research project. And that one I was going to be looking at motivation in an elementary school and for PE students. And motivation in physical education is something that I'm really interested in. I remember at the time the logistics of it were a major consideration for, you know, what's a project I can feasibly pull off at this point in my career. You know, my social capital's kind of pretty small. And so, you know, what's something that's realistic for me? So I put together a project that I thought fit that. And I submitted it in the very beginning of March 2020. And so then what happened was it was March 13th, 2020. That's when the Global Health Organization declared COVID to be a pandemic. Global pandemic. Everybody was in a little bit of shock there. And then schools closed and a couple weeks passed. And I realized that that project was not going to get off the ground. And so I was trying to make my way through the program and didn't really want a whole lot of hurdles. And so I pivoted and I talked to Dr. McCarthy. I talked to a couple other people in the program and I said, you know, we've got this pandemic going on. Physical education is being taught globally over a computer, which is this new phenomenon, and I want to study it and see kind of what's going on. And people were very supportive. They said, go for it. So I threw together a alternate proposal and just looked at, I had a 15 teachers that were willing to work with me and just looked at what they were doing during that initial phase of teaching during COVID. And so that was my qualifying task for that. And that's really where my research topic for my dissertation took off from.
Yeah. And thanks for sharing the qualifying task. I think the comprehensive exam is one thing that a lot of universities are thinking about. Is this the right thing? Has it changed enough? And so that's a really good example of one approach that certainly we can learn from in our conversations at my university, perhaps others as well. I've heard of one other university that is not doing that comprehensive exam now, but it still remains, you know, pretty common in doctoral programs. So, and, you know, sorry to hear how the pandemic really disrupted your dissertation. That's true for a lot of, you know, students during this time frame, obviously, but you managed to find something really interesting to research, and it seems like you were still passionate about. Is that right?
Yeah, it would. You know, truthfully, it's one of the things I'm most proud of with this dissertation was it was just a chaotic situation, and I'm pleased with how I was able to kind of transition to something different and make the best out of it and make it all work. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in terms of your dissertation, was there kind of a specific purpose that you hope to address, or some research questions that really drove your study?
Yes. So, so that initial qualifying task, I did that the semester before. So that was in the spring of 2020. And so I ended up interviewing people that June at the end of the school year. And I had a co-author with that, Michelle Grenier, who was at the University of New Hampshire. And when we were done, she knew that I was thinking about my dissertation. And she was kind of the first person that said, you know, I think you're really onto something here. I think you should continue this for your dissertation. And so I mentioned that to some people at BU. And again, everybody was very enthusiastic about it. And so that was kind of how I ultimately selected the dissertation topic. So another thing that I should mention about Boston University is that their dissertation, they use the three article, you have the choice to select the traditional dissertation, or you can select the three article dissertation. And I think that that's a little bit more, I think it's progressive, similar to the qualifying tasks versus the comprehensive exams. But my understanding is I think that's a little bit more commonplace maybe. And so their philosophy is they want to make it functional for people. And so I ultimately selected the three article dissertation. And so the first two articles were research articles. So one was a continuation of that study that I had conducted in the spring. I wanted to see what teachers were doing that following school year, since they were still in my region, at home on computers. But at that point, they'd had an opportunity to get training on the topic. They had experience from the previous spring. So I wanted to see how that changed in the following year. So that was my first article. My second article looked at a university program and how they handled it. So similar, but kind of a distinctly different topic. And that was physical education, teacher education, undergraduate. How did they handle their online courses? And then the third article was one that I wrote at the end with the findings that was aimed at a practitioner's journal. So the research questions, it was really just a matter of making sense of what were the instructors at this time doing and what were their perceptions of it. What lessons were they learning? What changes were they making? What feedback were they getting? So that's what I was looking at.
So in terms of your approach to this topic, which is obviously a new and innovative topic, especially at the time you were doing it, which I think makes it fascinating, right? I mean, how many of us get to study something that's brand new, never happened before, right in the middle of it occurring? That's really fascinating. How'd you approach that? I heard you say interviews from a methods perspective. How'd you go about collecting data?
Yep. So it was interviews. As thinking very much logistically, how can I make this work? This was a time when we weren't meeting face to face. And so it was Zoom interviews. So I met with all my participants. We set up times. Never forgot to record any of them, which was nice. I stuck strictly to interviews.
And were these interviews where they tend to be one-on-one with the teachers? Did you ever have opportunity to have focus group type conversations or things like that?
They were almost entirely one-on-one. I did have one situation where two of the teachers were roommates. And so I met with them together. And so that was interesting in that it did have a little bit of a different feel, whereas they were kind of building off of one another. One would say something and the other one would say, oh, yeah, we did that too. It was almost entirely just one-on-one.
Interesting. So you mentioned when you laid out those three chapters for your study, you had that third one, which was you went right into it with the idea that you wanted this to impact practitioners, which is maybe a unique idea. I wondered, did that shape your approach to data collection, like that you knew you wanted this to make an impact, to help professionals in addition to some academic journal outlets?
That's a great question. I don't think that was necessarily a piece of something that I was thinking about when I was planning this. I think that I was just kind of see what came my way and go from there. I think that was the approach.
Right. So obviously things were not necessarily going smoothly at the start of your study because you had a pandemic take place. And then when you started data collection, like I know with dissertations, there's often unexpected things that occur. What was data collection like for you? I wonder if there was anything especially challenging or unexpected in that process.
I'm actually pretty happy with how the data collection went. I think, so in that second article, I spoke to both the university faculty and some students. And I think in that one, there was one student that rescheduled a couple times, and then ultimately he and I couldn't connect. But otherwise, I think the data collection went really well, and I was really pleased with it. The one thing that I had heard over and over again that I did not conceptualize was what a pain transcribing interviews that are an hour long is. And when you've got a bunch of them to do, it's that reality really was kind of a shock to my system.
Yeah.
Takes a long time. Even Zoom has a transcription for you. But I found that even that, there's so many errors in that I did it both ways. I did just kind of like listening to it and changing the Zoom transcript. And I also just did it like freehand, just listening to it and typing it out. And it took the same amount of time either way. It was just so labor intensive, no matter how I approached it. So that was kind of the one surprise that really stuck with me through the data collection was the sheer amount of time that transcribing takes.
Yeah, I can definitely remember that from my own dissertation, and mine was a little bit before we had, YouTube or Zoom or Teams that would actually transcribe it for you. So it felt like an overwhelming task back in my time. So I can relate to you on that. Did you feel like, though, once you got through that you had a deeper understanding of your data because you'd spent so much time with it.
Can I go back and just offer one quick suggestion on that?
Yeah.
On the first study that I did all of the interviews and then I transcribed them. And in the second interview, in the second study that I did, I transcribed them after each interview. And I would highly recommend the second strategy of transcribing as you go, because if you leave them all to the end, it definitely feels like a much bigger mountain to climb. So that's one thing that I would mention there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And you felt there was an article when I was in grad school that we read, and I remember the author argued when you're doing your dissertation, you should have to transcribe it all. You shouldn't use any of this technology. And I think you used the quote as like, because you get the data into your bones because you spend so much time with it. Yeah. Did you find that was the case for you?
I felt like I had a really good, strong grasp of the data at that point. I was listening to it over and over, typing it, and I felt like I had a really strong knowledge of what people were saying and what their messages were. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So you get all that data in hand, you spend all that time transcribing it. So you wanted to make some meaning out of it. How did you structure your analysis process?
So I went with thematic analysis, which is pretty common in qualitative analysis. Just went through and started with open coding. And then I was labeling categories, lumping them together, putting everything into the so-called buckets as it was referred to me. And so that's how I went about it. It wasn't anything totally off the wall or creative, but it was effective at helping me make meaning of the data.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to get to your findings. I imagine you learned a lot of interesting things about what was happening in physical education and COVID-19. What were kind of the main findings, or maybe a couple of the most important findings you could highlight for us here?
So the findings, as you might expect, the initial rollout in the spring was, pretty chaotic. People were really unsure of what they needed to be doing. They had their own individual, concerns and considerations that they were trying to manage in addition to their teaching. And so ultimately I would say that, was probably not the highest quality product that was rolled out that initial spring. I think people were trying hard. They were giving it their all. But I don't think that it was necessarily the best learning experience for our students. And so there was a lot of teachers posting asynchronous assignments and students were kind of the student accountability. That was a big concern in that initial rollout. So students were kind of had the feeling that it was optional to complete assignments. And so a lot of students didn't. And then there was also big concerns about student socialization during that time. And so students were isolated. They were reporting feeling isolated, and they weren't having the opportunity to interact with other students. And so that seemed to be a problem for students. When you fast forward to the next fall, people seem to catch on to the fact that these were issues. And so you saw kind of a really big shift in the approach in the following fall. And so there were a lot of synchronous classes that were going on, and people reported that because of that, there was a lot of much greater accountability for students during that time. And it seemed like more students were doing their work. The teachers felt like they were able to see the students participating in class. And so that was helpful for them. But it also felt like they were then also getting some of that interaction with their students that was kind of meaningful and fulfilling to them. So the big findings I would say were, synchronous classes were definitely a strong preference from my participants. Felt like that was really beneficial for them and for their students. There was a big need for student accountability, and just making sure that there are policies in place, that there is the expectation that students are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then making sure that people are going to efforts to include some social interaction one way or another for their students, so that it's not just a computer sitting in a room by themselves, but, you know, however they're doing it, they can feel like they're getting some sort of social connection out of it.
Right. Yeah. Do you know, I'm curious to note that any of your teachers, this may go beyond your study, mm-hmm. were there things that they did in COVID-19 to adjust to it that they decided to kind of keep now that we've found like a new normal? Or do you have a sense for that?
So I have not followed up with them since. However, that was a question that I did ask them in our last interview, if they planned on doing, keeping anything. And so being in New England, there's snow days. And so there was a talk of being able to do online lessons for snow days. That wasn't something that they were, that's not something that they would do previously. So that was one thing. And a lot of teachers talked about how they had to create classroom web pages during the pandemic. And they said that that's something that they would continue doing and maintaining, and using that as a way to disseminate information and put notes and all kinds of different information as a way to communicate with parents. So my understanding was that it was something that was going to continue after the pandemic.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you had to come up with this dissertation on the fly, as we've discussed. If you had to go back and do it all over again, or if you could do that, would you do anything differently?
You know, the circumstances were so wild that, no, I don't think so. I think I was thrown a curveball and I went with it, and I'm really happy with, how it all turned out at the end.
Yeah. Glad to hear that. Now that you finished the dissertation, have you been able to disseminate the findings, or has it impacted your career in other ways?
So I have had an opportunity to disseminate the findings a little bit. I have, that initial qualifying task that I did, that has been published. And so now, where am I at? The Article 2 from the dissertation has also been published. And then the Articles 1 and 3 are in the pipeline. They're in a revise and resubmit phase. So hopeful those will be published here soon. And then I also had the opportunity to present at Shape America, two different presentations with that information. So, that's definitely been helpful to spread the word.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've been quite productive in terms of getting the word out about your findings.
Like you said, it's something that was just so relevant at the time that I think there was a big interest in it and curiosity about it. So I think I kind of benefited in that way.
Right. Yeah. So what's next for you? Are you staying connected to this research topic? Or, you know, how are you transitioning to, continuing your line of scholarship?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. One of the things is that this is really COVID-based, and COVID is now over officially. I am kind of trying to figure out where I fit in the world of scholarship. And one of the things that is kind of a struggle for me is that when you read a lot of the other work that has come out from this time period, when you look at the work from the people who have kind of been at the forefront of online physical education research since the get-go, they make the point that it's the teaching that happened during COVID is different than online physical education. Mm-hmm. In online physical education, that's a situation, it's an environment where people are there voluntarily, the teachers are trained in it, and COVID was this kind of emergency remote teaching environment. And so it's you know, just trying to kind of figure out now where I have this one body of knowledge that kind of fits in with this online physical education realm, but kind of doesn't. So just trying to kind of figure out where I fit in that whole puzzle. That's interesting. So moving forward, I my focus from a research standpoint has been on getting this dissertation information published. And like I said, I'm hopefully really close to finishing up that. So now that I'm thinking about starting some new projects, I mentioned that one of my articles looked at online physical education, teacher education. And I also mentioned that I work in a online master's program. And so I think that that's an area where I really want to kind of step into that and make sense of that because, you know, it's an area where there's not a lot of research about it. And it's something that's really practical to me personally, but I think it would be helpful to write about it for the field because I think it online education is growing in all facets. You know, it's definitely a huge emphasis in a place like North Dakota where there's just so much is spread out and geographic concerns are such a big consideration. I know that for us, it's something that is part of this university strategic plan. And, so I see that being important. And it's just something that I find interesting. Like in my online classes now, I send surveys to my students every semester, mid-semester, just to kind of get feedback. And I get a really just interesting information from them about their preferences. And I think kind of getting that on the record would be really helpful. So,
yeah. Well, I think you're right that it remains a relevant topic. COVID-19 was unique, but, you know, students learned a lot of skills in terms of how do you participate in online education. And that student group is now kind of matriculating into universities. And so there's a lot of opportunities to think about how do we make use of that? How do we kind of blend and hybridize?
You know, it's another thing that I think a lot about an area, and I'm not really sure how to, again, logistically, how to get into this, but something I would really like to study is this cohort of students that we had that were in teacher preparation programs during COVID that are now out teaching. What is their experience like? Do they feel like they are prepared as teachers now, having been taught during this really disruptive time period? That's something I'd be really interested to look into too. So, yes.
Great idea. And it could shape professional development, you know, inform professional development opportunities and things like that. So that'd be a really important conversation. So I always like asking this question because you were successful in your dissertation and there's people thinking about going into a doctoral program or maybe actually doing their own dissertation right now. And, you know, that's always a bit of a struggle. What advice would you give someone who's out there thinking about how to be successful with their dissertation?
it's a lot. You need to know that going in. It is a lot. But I think of finding Dory and just keep swimming. Like that's you know, keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep plowing ahead. It's a big mountain to climb, but you can do it. I think for me, I think you definitely need to take days off. I think that I tried to just keep plowing ahead and found myself burnt out. And then I needed to remember to take days off and just step away from it. That was a big thing for me. Since I was doing this during COVID and I have kids who were doing their own online schooling, I would schedule my writing time from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. And so a big piece of that for me was when it's 7 o'clock was rolling around and I was wrapping up, I made my to-do list for the next day. And so when 4 a.m. rolled around the next morning, I didn't have to like wrap my head around, okay, what am I going to try to accomplish today? Like I already knew going in that this is what I'm working on today. So I would recommend at the end of your day, plot out what the next day is going to look like. That really helped me kind of get going in the next day. And then another thing that may or may not be feasible for other people, but I took a writing retreat. I rented a Airbnb for a couple days and got away from my family, got away from all the distractions of my house. And when I was really in the thick of it, I just went away for a couple days and just wrote. And that was good quality time for me. So if that's something that somebody can swing, I recommend that.
Yeah, that's a good, great advice, great ideas. I've actually taken a couple writing retreats in my career since my dissertation and found it to be very, very useful and like to find time to do it again sometime. So
yeah,
I appreciate you sharing those tips. So we're nearing the end of the conversation today. It's been a great conversation. Are there other things that you want people to know about you or your dissertation study?
I don't know. I'm happy it's done. I'm happy I got through it. Been a little bit of PTSD coming back for this interview because there's so much that you go through when you're writing your dissertation. I think we've covered most of it. I'm proud of the work I did, and I hope that people in the future find it helpful when they're, you know, I'm hoping it's, I had one advisor say it's kind of like a time capsule. And I hope that it was just such a crazy time period. And to be able to look back at this and kind of reflect on it, I hope that's useful to people in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. I think this conversation will be useful. I think people are going to enjoy listening to it. And hopefully people make connections with you if they're interested in this topic. And, you know, I certainly hope we continue to cross paths on the conference circuit or otherwise. And Dr. Foy, thanks for letting us dive into your dissertation.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun. Appreciate it.